T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome to the Howard Eskin podcast, which is episode number 99999. It's episode number 9. A lot of great response. And I want to thank you, the listeners, the subscribers on iTunes, where you can subscribe easily enough. Subscribe and you're notified when it pops up, and obviously free of charge. But again, thanks for all the great response to the Larry Brown podcast, the podcast which was last week's, which was Larry Brown. A lot of insight into the NBA, a lot of insight into basketball, a lot of insight to in terms of a lot of things. And I want to talk a little about the NBA and all the it's blogs, it's Twitter, it's, I'm going to get into all the particulars after we talk to our guest this week. And our guest this week is a former Eagle, one that I think should be on the Wall of Fame, and that would be Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards has as many interceptions as any Eagle player in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles. He has 34. As many as anybody. Now, he didn't make Pro Bowls, but he still had 34 interceptions. Brian Dawkins, I believe, has 34. He's not in the Hall of Fame yet, but he will be. But he's on the Wall of Fame. I do think that Herm Edwards, and I know there's not a lot of people that may remember Herm, 70s and 80s. The only thing, the early 80s, the only thing that people remember about Herm Edwards is the first miracle at the Meadowlands. And it was... it was not the Westbrook punt return. It was not the DeSean Jackson punt return. It was a recovered fumble when Joe Pisarcik, and he didn't want to run the play. The coach actually, rather than just kneel down on the ball, hand it off. There was a fumble. Herm Edwards picked it up, ran in for a touchdown. And with that win, the Eagles made the playoffs under Dick Vermeil, which was a really, really, really special and happy moment for the Eagles. But besides that, he was in the right place at the right time. Besides that, I believe that Herm Edwards should be on the Eagles Wall of Fame. My opinion, he's got as many interceptions as anybody in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles. So I believe he should be there. Now, he is a guy that, with all the talking heads on ESPN, there's a bunch of bobblehead talking heads on ESPN, a bunch of nonsense and bull crap and all that stuff. Herm knows what he's talking about, and he's not afraid to say it. There are some of those guys that don't quite step over. There are people on ESPN that do, but Herm, I believe, is very honest in his opinions, very honest with what I believe is knowledge. I kid him a little bit, but here we have Herm Edwards, who was always fun to talk to, former Eagle, should be on the Wall of Fame. This week, we got Herm Edwards.
Here with a genius, of all geniuses when it comes to football, all that bull on TV, but he knows the game, and that would be Herm Edwards. Herm, dealing with the Eagles, they're better, but in your opinion, how much better?
I think it, when you look at the Eagles, they have to solidify the offensive line. Had issues there. The running back situation has to be solid for him. Even though you got a quarterback that's played a year now, he still needs protection with a running back. Defensively, the back end has been their problem the last 4 or 5 years. They went out and tried to solidify that through the draft. They signed some guys as well. So they're a team that can be very competitive. When you look at them, and I said this when the season was over with, 6 of 9 games were lost by 7 points or less. Mm-hmm. They're 6-2 at home. They beat 4 playoff teams. So that being said, you have to be optimistic about competing in a division. Now, the problem is the division is much better.
Yes.
As we know, the Giants are, I think, the favorite to win the division due to the fact that Eli's probably got 2 years left. I mean, his clock is ticking.
So you think this is sick?
I can't, you know, they're rallying the troops right now in New York. They spent all that money on defense prior to last year. We know they have a receiving corps. They get Brandon Marshall. They draft a tight end. They got Odell Beckham Jr. If they solidify their offensive line, here we go. The Dallas Cowboys, they're missing two of their offensive linemen. We'll see what happens there. But they're going to be solid. They drafted 7 defensive players. They got an offensive line and a runner that protects the defense. Washington is Washington. Washington goes as Kirk Cousins goes. Can they fix their defense? So Washington and really Philly mirror each other. Quarterback has more experience, Kirk Cousins, right? But defensively, they mirrored each other last year a little bit, giving up a lot of big plays in the passing game. And if they can, you know, solidify those things, this is going to be a very competitive division.
Yeah, but Kirk Cousins, in his mind, do they really want him?
No, they don't want him for the money that he wants. It's kind of ironic. And he plays better with a chip on his shoulder. If you know Kirk Cousins, and I can remember 2 years ago, I was in an event up in up in Michigan, actually going to play in it next week, ladies LPGA tour. Right. He was up there, and I was talking to him about it then, you know, and you could just tell he said, I'm going to prove these guys, I'm going to show them that I can really play. And look, this guy's been a great quarterback for them. And you can say what you want, you know, people always have been lying quarterbacks. I always ask you this question: if you don't have Kirk Cousins, who are you going to get?
They don't, so why don't they just pay him?
It's amazing to me. I mean, the problem is,
you got
to
overpay for everybody,
especially at quarterback, because the bar has been set.
Yeah.
And so you can't, he gives you the best chance to win, because if they don't get this thing done, he'll be in San Francisco here.
You know, chemistry, a lot of people talk about chemistry. Odell Beckham Jr., I know he hasn't had any off-the-field issues, but when you think you're bigger than anybody else, and that's just my perception from afar, I don't think the Eagles have that kind of player, but there's teams that have those. Dallas obviously has those players. Does that hurt the team after a while?
Only if you're losing and if the player doesn't play well. And I think that's where player-coach relationship has to come of age. And I've always said this, and you know in the offseason, OTAs, they are not mandatory, they're voluntary.
Yeah,
there are certain stars that you have a discussion with when the season's over. You have that little discussion of, okay, hey, I'm going to have 11 OTAs or 12, whatever it may be.
Right.
I just need you there for 4. Just to be around for the young guy. You don't even have to practice. I just want you around in the building. Mm-hmm. And the guys generally go, every time I do it, they say, Coach, we'll be there. What days you need me? I need you here, here, and here. Are you okay with that? Yeah, Coach, I'm good. That way you have that camaraderie where the stars are there. They're not practicing, but they're kind of overseeing. They're helping some young guys. That's how you keep that intact.
You know, the thing that I see, and I hate the word brand, when player talks about himself.
Ooh.
The brand is that logo on that says NFL. Mm. That brand is the team that's on your chest or on your sleeve. And they always talk about brand. Doesn't that hurt after a while?
Well, I just think, you know, who's talking that way?
Beckham Jr. talks about his brand.
Well, there's a lot of guys. I mean, he's not.
Yeah, there's other guys.
We live in a different world now.
Yeah, we sure do.
And we want to get angry with the player at times. And even me, you know, I'm in the old school where it was about the team. It was about the name on the back of the jersey belonged to your parents. It didn't belong to you, you know.
And the decal
on the side of the helmet belonged to the city and the organization and to the fan base that has been following this team historically. And then obviously you play under the shield. Now, these players have a different perspective. They are in a different age. The millennials think different. And that's not a knock on them. I just say this. Hey, that's all good, but you got to understand something. The team and that shield is bigger than everybody. It's bigger than everybody. It's going to be here long when you're gone, long when I'm gone. Just make sure that we understand this. Honor the game. That's all I ask players and coaches to do. Just honor the game of football.
When you look at the NFL, you can see maybe, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, maybe 10 teams that have a chance to get to the Super Bowl, right? Would you say that's the case?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And who would they
be? And we know who they are. You go in the NFC East, you would say the Giants.
Okay.
Right?
You wouldn't say Dallas?
Dallas has a chance.
Right, okay.
They're going to have a chance.
Prescott's got to, you know, duplicate what he did last year.
He's got a runner. That helps him.
Right.
The defense, they got to become a playoff defense, because if they don't score, they're going to be in trouble. because you can move the ball on them. Now they do a great job of taking possessions away from you because they can run it so efficiently. So we'll see. They're missing two offensive line. We'll see on that. Obviously, NFC North, Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And I think they're a better team. They're going to be a pretty good football team. The NFC South, Carolina's going to come back.
Do you think Atlanta, after
I think Atlanta deals with what all teams deal with after they go to the Super Bowl. I was in the camp last year of Carolina. Ron Rivera is a good friend of mine from my hometown. Mm. And we talked about that Super Bowl hangover. He talked about it. That's all he talked about. Coach, it ain't going to happen. It happened. Now, Cam was hurt. I get that. But
right.
So I think that's something for them to try to get through. You know, we know the Saints are the Saints. Drew Brees is going to throw for 5,000 yards. Can they stop anybody? Okay. Tampa, much improved. Mm. Tampa's pretty good. They got a good quarterback. Okay.
See, well, the thing that could hurt Atlanta, too, in that when you have good teams in the division, yes, the record, you don't have all
that's
those.
Exactly right. And you might not win enough games to have home field advantage. Right. Okay, in the West, it's Arizona and Seattle.
Who's you think Arizona's win? Still good enough?
Yeah, I still think they're good enough because defensively, Carson started off bad last year. I said it in the preseason when I watched them play. And, you know, I always say this. Preseason games, score don't count.
Right.
But performance of your stars matter. Their stars didn't play very. They were kind of like going through the motions. I said, this ain't good for these guys. and they started off slow. So, but their division, I mean, it's them in Seattle, right?
Yep.
I mean,
at the that's
end,
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
AFC, hey, Captain America lives in AFC East. It's Captain America.
I can't stand that
it's
team.
Captain America. Okay.
I can't stand that
They're
team.
Better.
Hey, they didn't win the Super Bowl last year. Atlanta lost it.
They still got the trophy. So, okay. So you go AFC East, we know that. AFC West, I think, is one of the better divisions.
You got Oakland. Yeah.
Oakland. They got to get a playoff defense. Kansas City is still the team they got to beat because here's the score when you look at it. In the last 2 years, Kansas City is 11-1 in the division. The Raiders are 6-6. Denver 6-6. San Diego's 1-11. So Kansas City's the team to beat. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Raiders are right there. Okay.
Yep.
You go AFC South. Interesting. Tennessee.
Better.
Mariota gets hurt against Jacksonville. If they beat Jacksonville, they're actually playing the last game of the season against Houston to win the division.
Wow.
That division has been won twice with a 9-7 record. So you got Houston sitting there. Deshaun Watson's probably going to be the starting quarterback when it's all said and done.
But can a rookie take you there?
Well, can a rookie take you there? Can a rookie get you in the playoffs?
Right.
We just saw Dak Prescott and the rookie running back do that. They have the same formula. Got a big, powerful, two big, powerful backs. Got a good offensive line. Can run the football. Went out, got a couple receivers complimentary. Their defense will be improved. And then the coach. You got Andrew Luck. You protect Andrew Luck, you got a chance.
You know what? He's never achieved what people thought he should achieve.
And he's been beat up. I think his first 3 years, he hit all the warts of that organization, and they didn't help him. And now he's getting beat up for it, right? I mean, that's what happened.
Yep.
Jacksonville should be really good. It's all on Blake Bortles.
Yeah, but is Blake Bortles a good enough quarterback?
I don't know. 51 interceptions in 3 years. They got a runner and before that. They should be better. I mean, they've got all these first-round picks on defense. And Tom Coughlin's involved with this organization now. So you're going to see a different mentality. Doug Marrone worked for me. He'll do a good job there. He's been there. So that's that division. And then the AFC North. Yeah. You know, what do you say about the AFC North?
Yeah, who's there that's good enough?
Yeah. You look at the divisions, you go, okay, the North. Who are you? It's probably Pittsburgh. I think Cincinnati's going to fall off. Offensive line, you know, offensive line.
Roethlisberger's starting to feel some.
Yeah, but their problem is their corner play has been atrocious.
Right.
But score points? If the three Bells can stay healthy.
Yep.
Wow, how do you stop that offense?
All right, I'm going to ask you to take a look. The NBA,
yes.
I think, is a broken product.
Yeah.
When you see the same team there, same two teams, and at the beginning of the season, it's three teams and that's it. And this year, I mean, Cleveland and Golden State could have played all the games and it would have been better than what they had. Why is the NFL not like that? And as we said, well, there's maybe 10 teams that have a chance to go to the Super Bowl, yet in the NBA, you maybe have two or three. Why is that?
Less players. Your cap restrictions are obviously a bit different.
Yep.
Okay. And it takes three guys in the NBA. In the NFL, it takes a quarterback. Most teams don't have elite quarterbacks. you got about 10 of them. We talked right. about some. We mentioned their names. So there's always going to be 10 guys, 8 guys always in the mix knowing. And the league is, our league is this. If you win 10 games, now you start talking about, if I can win more than 10, I got a chance to win a division, create home field advantage. It's always a race to 10. Most of the time, 90% of the teams that win 10 games can win, okay? Yeah. Now, quarterback never changes, generally, on teams, right? They don't leave. I mean, because you're going to franchise a guy, or then you're going to pay him a bunch of money, he ain't going nowhere.
Right.
So your main cog is not leaving. Right, they don't just leave. Tom Brady don't leave. Aaron Rodgers don't leave. They just keep playing. They just get extended. Those are the guys right. that they can get 3 contracts. In our league, generally, after you get your 2nd contract, you don't get a 3rd. The quarterback generally does if he's still
reliable. Yeah, but there's still parity in the NFL.
There's parity in the fact that when you draft, when you win, you draft last. There's free. Look, the NFL, you draft last, but here's a kicker: you have free agency. That helps you. So you have two ways of going to market. In the NBA, there's only 60 players that are being drafted.
Yeah, but when the teams make up their own, LeBron James, you know, puts together his own teams. If you franchise a player in the NBA, that would stop all that.
It would, but they're not going to do that because that's the NBA. But you know, as much as we say, and you're right, it's the Warriors and obviously Cleveland Cavs. But let's go back to our selected memory when we were in Philadelphia together, when you were there and I was playing. It was the Lakers. And it was the Celtics. And then Philly got in there and messed around.
But then Detroit had their
own. But so there was a couple. But there was maybe 4 teams in about a 10-year window where every time you look around, it's the Lakers, it's the Celtics. And everybody was going, oh, it's great. You know, and we. But
they didn't play every year together.
No, you're right. But I'm just saying, it was that team. It was like those teams. It's like the Lakers are always in, the Celtics are. And then the Sixers got in, and then Detroit got in, they had their little run. And then I think Portland get in 1 year or something like that. So there was but it was always the Lakers and the Celtics.
Yeah, but in the NBA, and here's a disadvantage, players are coming out after 1 year.
That's exactly right.
In the NFL,
no.
It's better that they have to stay 2 years,
right? It is. I think it is. I think it is. And, you know, NBA's got different rules for different reasons. I get it. I mean, these kids come out of high school, some of these guys, you know. And here's the problem you got. You can't stop a guy in America from working. What's the difference between a guy that works in college for 4 years, he's going to go to IBM, he's 21 years old, he goes, oh, by the way, they want to hire me before I'm a senior. Can I leave? Yeah, you can go work. Why would you stop a guy that's a talented player now? He's probably not going to be a success early because most of them are not. Most of them are not Kobe Bryant or LeBron James. They think that, okay? The ball kid. We're going to see what kind of – there's so much pressure on that poor guy. I'm like, this poor guy. I mean
– If you're that team, do you want to deal with his father?
Well, if you're the Lakers, you got Magic Johnson there. And knowing Magic, he ain't going to let his dad in the building.
That would be the best thing.
Let him in the building.
Yeah, right.
The kid's going to be a good player.
Yeah, it's just – okay, so now when you look at the young players in the NFL – who do you look at? Is Carson Wentz one of those guys that takes another step?
You know, and this is what I always hope. When quarterbacks are drafted, a lot people have to realize this. They don't draft themselves. Organizations do that. Now, he has some talent. Where is it at? And I think fans get all enamored. You draft a guy in the first round, he should be great. No. It's, I always say quarterback, unless you're unique, like Aaron Rodgers, it takes 3,000 snaps. But what is that? That's 3 years.
Yeah.
It's 1,000 snaps of offense a season, right? So that's 3 years. So let the guy develop. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I know this. When the quarterback play in the league is good, the league's better.
Right.
I pull for these young guys. Look, Jameis Winston came in. Mariota came in. Solid quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Got some solid quarterbacks here out of that young draft. Hopefully these guys that come in, they will be the next generation. Now, 5 of them got drafted. All 5 of them are going to be great. We know that, right? There's probably going to be 2 that take the step, and the other guys.
Right.
But that's the position. It's that hard to play.
You know, Peter King, who I think, obviously, we both agree, knows a lot about football.
Yes.
He thought the Eagles, I think he overstepped his bounds a little bit when I talked to him at the owners' meetings. He thought the Eagles could get to the Super Bowl next season, not this season, next season. How far away?
I think they're a year away from being a really good team. I mean, they're a good team now, but a really good team. And it'll all depend on how the defense grows. Look.
So you think they could be a Super Bowl team
in the next couple of years? I just think they could be one of those teams. Because the NFC East will harden them.
Yep.
It hardens you when you got that many competitive teams. It makes you better. When you play in a division that's competitive from 1 to 4, that's good. That was the NFC East I played in. When the division is that good, you become better. as a football team.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, all right, I'm going to ask you about one of your alumni.
Sure.
Donnell Pumphrey. How good can he be?
He is terrific. I mean, he was a terrific college player, and I watched him the ball maybe 10, 15 times a game. He's got some returnability. That's all you want.
So Donnell Pumphrey, in your mind, can be a really good player.
I think he can be a good player, used correctly. And I think Coach Peterson, when they draft a guy like that, they know, hey, this is what we do. It's a specialty league anymore. It's all about formations, right, and matchups. If they take him and Sproles and put them in the backfield at the same time, and split one of them out, what do you do along with the receivers? How do you cover those guys?
Nobody can cover them.
You got to go to extra personnel. Now, the key is this. You go to extra personnel with more defensive backs on the field, you're taking out linebackers. And with Sproles, he can run the football inside the tackles. You have an advantage now.
Well, more knowledge from Herm Edwards. I mean, you may not know anything, but you sound like you know something.
As long as you sound like you know something.
Herm Edwards, you're the best.
Thanks, brother.
Herm speaks the truth. I really do believe he speaks the truth. And he is one of more than a few people that think the Philadelphia Eagles, not this year. This year they have a chance to make the playoffs, but really have a chance to go deep in the next few years. And he believes, like Peter King kind of thought the Eagles could go deep in the 2018 season. Not this season, but next season. But they will get better. He sees upside, and the quarterback, obviously, is the player that really needs to make it happen for a team to be successful in the NFL. And not every quarterback can make it. And there's still quarterbacks which you think will make it that don't make it. But he's on board with Carson Wentz moving forward and some of the other things that go on in the NFL. Herm is very, very, very poignant about. We obviously disagree on the Patriots and whether they won the Super Bowl. He says, hey, they got the trophy up there, so they won the Super Bowl last time. Atlanta lost the Super Bowl. But it's really wide open. And to compare the difference between the NFL, which there's always at least 10 teams that have a chance, where in the NBA, it's two to four teams at the most that have a chance before each year. And that's part of what I want to talk about. It's just, I touched on it a little bit last week, but I'm going to touch on it again. People have asked, and they've asked me, and they've asked other people, all right, well, the NBA is a broken product. It really does suck. You can't have playoffs. The entire playoffs were all blowouts. And again, I don't know when you're listening to this, and Cleveland should win at least a game in this series, and there should not be, you wouldn't think that every game's going to be a blowout in the finals. But how do you fix it? And I don't think it'll ever change, and Herm doesn't believe it'll change. The NFL, they franchise players. So players can't form their own teams. Now, in the NFL, it's much more difficult to create a winning team just by having all the players' contracts come up at the same time and all going to the same team. But in the NBA, if you could franchise a player, I don't think the Players Association is going to allow it. There's two ways to stop what is a bad product in the NBA. And I would... If I were the commissioner, who's a real, he's got the backbone of a fish. Adam Silver's got the backbone of a fish. Complete a joke as a commissioner. No heart, no muscle, no backbone, no nothing. I would take a strike to fix the product because it's only going to get worse. And there's going to be more LeBron James type people that want to form their own super franchises. But I would franchise a player. So if a player wants to create, well, all right, and he talks to the other players, well, you have your contract come up on this year, I'll have mine come up this year, and there's somebody else come up on that year, and we'll get together. Now they got all these 1 and 2 year outs in their contract so they can make that happen. But if you franchise a player, then they don't know, or you can stop them. They do know when their contract's up, but if you franchise them, it screws up what they're trying to do. And not everybody is going to want to take a one-year contract because in the NFL, you can franchise a player for a couple of years, and you should be able to do that, or at least I would hope that they would try to do that in the NBA. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's one way to fix it. Then the other thing, and not everything is the NFL, and because basketball only takes a couple of players, I would create a hard salary cap. In baseball, there is no cap, but there's a luxury tax, and baseball teams will pay it, but you need too many pieces. You can't put all those pieces together to create a super team in baseball. You have to do it on your own, as the Cubs did it on their own. They didn't do it with going out and signing a bunch of free agents. Matter of fact, they won a World Series, and the premier free agent was John Lester, who was really good for them, but only played every fifth day. So if you create a hard cap in basketball, where now there's a cap, but you can go over it and you pay a luxury tax, which Cleveland has done, which Golden State, I don't know if they're there yet, but they probably will do it to keep a lot of the same players they have, because the TV contract is so exorbitant, it's so ridiculous that these teams make money whether they have half a house or they have a full house. Look at the 76ers. They made money every year that they tried to lose because the TV money was so, so big. So if you create a hard cap so you can't keep all these players, and you are allowed to franchise players, then that wouldn't happen. All right, there's a few other topics that I want to discuss. There was recently a story when the Sixers had the media attend their workouts, and Brian Colangelo spoke after the first open to the media draft pick workouts, where he said, "There's a lot of teams are showing an interest in our third pick, and there's a lot of teams talking with interest." Well, this is what happens before a draft, and not in baseball, and because it really doesn't matter as much. And I don't even know if I don't think you're allowed to trade draft picks in baseball, but and not in hockey because nobody really cares. But in basketball and football, everybody talks to everybody. That is such a non-story. It is a total non-story. To say, oh, there's a lot of discussion, people talking to us about the third pick, and we're talking to people. Well, that happens all the time. Every one of the NBA teams, every single one, is on the phone talking to other teams, seeing what it would take to get there. Now, if you're drafting in the last five or six picks in the NBA, obviously you can't move up to the third pick, which is the Sixers, or you can't move up to the first or second pick. You can't do those things, even if you trade. Well, the teams that are at the bottom of the last few picks are good enough teams that they can win. They don't want to trade players, and you're not going to trade that player for a top five pick. It's not going to happen. But most of the teams, well, actually all the teams talk, and they all call each other. And to make that, and this is what I love about Twitter and about the internet, and I know sports talk radio, especially with the Phillies, I mean, they've won, four, they had won multiple games in a row. But it's really the Eagles and the NBA draft is what is of interest here in Philadelphia. But the Sixers have a lot of discussions, and could they trade? Yeah, they could trade, but it happens every year. Will they trade? They have so many picks, I think it's unlikely that they will trade for future picks. Remember, there's only, with all these young players, now some of them they have to keep, a lot of them they have to keep because they've had so many players that they've drafted over the years. Larry Brown, an interesting comment last week. He said, they're not building the right team for the way Brett Brown coaches, but now with Brian Colangelo, they will build a team the way Brett Brown will coach. But everybody, just understand, everybody talks to everybody. It is such a Twitter and blogs and people talking about, and that's what sports talk radio is. You talk about players. I think it's unlikely, obviously not impossible, but unlikely that the Sixers will trade that third pick. Now, could they move up? I don't think they would want to move up. Why would you want to give up anything? You're still going to get a good, well, a, what you think is a good player at three. And the Lakers will probably try to con some people thinking that other teams are going to move up. And that's this little game. That's this little game that everybody plays. Oh, yeah, we got a lot of discussion. And it's usually the agents that put that out. The teams tell the agents to put that out. The teams use media people to put that out. And it's a bunch of hogwash and nonsense. And it's bull crap. Absolute bull crap. But that's what makes the world go round. That's why people love to talk about the draft. It's just a bunch of names, but they talk about the draft. Another topic that I want to discuss, and I just think there's something wrong about Ben Simmons not playing in the summer league. I can understand that Joel Embiid not playing. You just want to make sure, because I don't know if the clock's running on when the next injury comes, but you worry about the clock running on the next injury for Joel Embiid. But the problem with Ben Simmons not playing in the summer league, now, is it a big deal? Is it great competition? No, but it gives you a chance. It gives you a real chance to see whether he can play point guard. I don't think he's a point guard. Larry Brown doesn't think he's a point guard. Point forward, you can call him whatever you want. I don't know that you want the ball in his hands all the time. You really want a real point guard. And then sometimes in the half-court offense, you can use Ben Simmons as a good passer. Hey, the Celtics always had a point guard when they had Larry Bird. You go way back to who Larry Bird considered the best passing forward in NBA history by everybody that I've spoken to. But why is Ben Simmons not playing in the summer league? Because Ben Simmons doesn't want to play in the summer league. He stated, this is like it's new. All of a sudden, this is new news because his agent put it out there that he's not going to play in the summer league. It's not new news. When he first spoke, when he was first permitted to speak to the media after the season, after he came back and, you know, everything was it's fine with the injury, he all but said he's not going to the summer league. He pretty much said he's not going to the summer league. And he did say he's going home. I just think he wants to go home. His home is still Australia. His parents still live there. So he wants to go home. Hey, that's great. But somewhere along the way, he's got to work on that part of the game. Because if you look back, and he played in the summer league last year. Why did he play in the summer league last year? And he's not going to play in the summer league this year. But he played in the summer league last year. He turned the ball over more than people think he did. And I know he's got skills. He's got to hone those skills to be able to play in the NBA, to handle the ball in the NBA, because the players are much better than the players he's played in college. But it's a chance for him to work, and a chance for work on being a point guard, and a chance for the team to see whether he's a point guard. I don't think so, but if they're hell-bent on saying he's a point guard and making him a point guard, the summer league would probably be, not probably, is the best place to kind of get an idea so you can formulate things. Now, the summer league happens after the draft. So we'll see if their first pick may not want to go until he signs. That's a different story. Although Ben Simmons went last year, I don't know. It's pretty much locked in what you're going to make, what your contract calls for. But I think he should go. I know the team, they will never say this because they don't want to have it look poorly on Ben Simmons. I know they'd like to see him go, but he doesn't want to go. And in today's world, the players do whatever the hell they want to do, and I think that's a mistake. I think that's a total mistake, and I think he should be in the summer league. As far as people watching and creating interest, why not? But more importantly, to see whether he can play that position. And the fact that he's determined, and that's really what it came down to, he's determined that he is not going to play in the summer league, and I think that sucks. Absolutely sucks. The media is a fascinating thing. Turning to baseball, all of a sudden, there's a general manager, and this, just by the way this came out and how this came out, general manager says Bryce Harper will probably get a $600 million contract. Now, why would a general manager say that? Because even if that's not the same or a team that Bryce Harper would go to, by putting that number out there, and I'll tell you why I think it is out there, by putting that number out there, it changes what, if he gets that $600 million contract, and this is after next year, but agents are already going to think that their players are worth more just by that, then it causes you problems if you're trying to sign your own players who may be a good player and say, well, I'm not worth $600 million, but the price of coffee has gone up. The price of a player has gone up. And a general manager just wouldn't say this. Here's what I believe's happened, because this is, the media are such suckers to put content on websites, to get hits on their websites, and they are complete suckers to think they're getting information from somebody. The agent, and the agent is a pretty sharp guy, and he's kind of setting the table to have this go, have people go crazy with this number. His agent is Scott Boras. And Scott Boras is now trying to plant the seeds of what Bryce Harper could be worth. And he's planting a seed that is absolutely in no way crazy. I would be stunned. I would be stunned, absolutely stunned, if Bryce Harper gets a $600 million contract. I know he's young, and I know it's going to be a long-term deal, and I get all that. But $600 million, 35 to $40 million a year, it's absolutely insane. And the contract's guaranteed. And if you want to insure it, it's going to cost you a lot of money for the insurance. So I think it's complete nonsense, and it's put out there by the agent, but people throw it out there, and it just, oh, yeah, he could demand a $600 million contract. All right, and with the, that's all I'm going to say about that, but I think it's just complete, complete nonsense. As far as the Phillies, they still have issues. It's obvious that, especially now, that Herrera started to hit. I still think there's going to be slumps. I think there's. Remember when the Phillies started on that run, and when I'm taping this, the Phillies went on a run of winning four games in a row. Who do they play? San Francisco. They suck this year. Atlanta really sucks this year. The fact that Atlanta has not beaten the Phillies this year tells you all you need to know. But you have to see them. I remember the winning streak last year. When they started to win some games, they didn't really play anybody. Now, there are some really bad teams in baseball, and they've played two of them in a row. So don't get crazy yet. And I know people don't think they're a playoff team, and I'm not getting crazy about Odubel Herrera all of a sudden being this star and being this player. I think the Phillies' thoughts, and they've had a lot of discussions internally, maybe not with the manager, Pete Maccannon, but higher up, on projecting what they will do after the 2018 season, which is when they're going to go after. They will go after free agents at that time. They've got to do it, whether they like it or not, to start moving the needle forward. And I just don't think the third baseman will be here, because there's going to be a really good player out there in Machado and Matt Klentak. And Andy McPhail, no Machado, because they were with Baltimore when Machado became part of that organization. So Machado is a guy that they absolutely positively are looking at, and he becomes a free agent after the 2018 season. He's clearly a better defensive player than Mikel Franco. Mikel Franco will dive at balls, but his range is, if you watch him play, his range is limited. And then as a hitter, I'd rather. Now, Machado's not having a great year yet, but Machado is a much better player. So Machado is a player that they've talked about internally and have a little bit of a target on after the 2018 season. And they will go after Bryce Harper. I don't know if they're going to get him because Bryce Harper, now he said he wants to play with the Cubs. And the Cubs, their star player, they have a few star players, but one of them, Chris Bryant, is represented by the same agent. So they're trying to formulate that. Playing in Chicago is really great for an athlete. They idolize him probably as much or more than any other city. And he may want to go there. But John Middleton will pay. He will pay more than anybody else. He won't get crazy, but he'll pay more than anybody else. And so who is your center fielder? We'll see how Aaron Altherr develops, but I think Herrera would be a tradable player, and I don't think either Franco or Herrera will be here after 2018, because somewhere along the way, they're just going to put some better players out there. We'll see how Aaron Altherr does, but Bryce Harper could play right field, and then you'll see if they have somebody that develops in the organization to play left field. I wouldn't be opposed to trading Hernandez after Cesar Hernandez, who I think is their all-star, and I think he's the player that should be on the all-star team. But once they trade, I think they should, but we'll see what the value is, I think Kingery, who doesn't have to come up this year, really doesn't have to come up next year because he doesn't have to be on the 40-man roster either, but he looks like he's for real. The two players that I can identify that are real players, Hoskins, Tommy Joseph could be traded. Hoskins is a first baseman. He's ready for the major leagues in a lot of people's opinion this year. Hoskins could be your first baseman in the future. He's better than Tommy Joseph, who's hit a little bit, but he's better than Tommy Joseph. Kingery could be your second baseman. Machado could be your third baseman. And it's still doable depending on the money. Bryce Harper could be in your outfield. So we'll see how that all plays out. All right. Again, thanks for listening to episode number 9. Herm Edwards is always great. We'll have another great guest next week. We'll talk about a lot of things. And again, if you have things that you'd like me to talk about on the podcast that I don't talk about on the air at WIP, just tweet me, at Howard Eskin. You can tweet me. If you want to write something on Facebook, you can do that too. It's Howard Eskin Sports on Facebook. But you can find me. And on Twitter, just at Howard Eskin. And you can just send me your questions on what you may like me to talk about. Do you have any recommendations for guests? Obviously, within reason, I will try to get those people. But I have some people that I'm thinking about in the future, and I'll do my best to get them. But I'll always have a good guest for our podcast. Again, thanks for listening to the podcast, the Howard Eskin podcast, available on iTunes. It's easy to find. And episode number 9. And we will talk to you again next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.